Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and this is our beautiful daughter, Kelly, and this is our class here this morning. And this is always a wonderful time of year when Christmas is finished, but now we're headed into a new year. The thing that I'd like to share with you is this. When you live by faith, your life is sustained by faith. You never have to change your lifestyle because of the times. Amen. So your New Year's resolutions was already made. Now, if there's things that need to be changed, you have to do it by faith. And it has to be done with a quality decision, not some wishy-washy thing. Like Brother Hagin would say, the wishy-washy well-wishers are not going to get there. But you do it by faith, and you base it on truth.
Yes.
So that's where we're going into 2023. I was with Pastor George, and it just popped through my spirit and out of my mouth. I said, George, 2023 is going to be as good as it can be. And it depends on what you do with the Word. And it's amazing how the Word of God will stabilize everything in your life when it becomes, when Jesus is not only Savior, but truly Lord. And you've heard me say this. I learned this a long time ago. It was established in glory in me that I am His to command. I am at His command. I am at His pleasure. And there's been some things that He said to me that, But let's go to the 8th chapter of John's Gospel. This will be our golden text for this week's study. And we'll begin reading with the 25th verse. Actually, in order to study this, read the entire 8th chapter, because there's several things that Jesus ministers here that is truly amazing. And then they said unto Him, Who are you? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. And I haven't changed, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him. They understood not that He spoke of them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, when you shall know that I am, see, He, and that is in italics, that I am, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He hath sent me, He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. As He spoke these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now that is a statement of authority. The truth will make you free. He didn't say it'd set you free. He said it would make you free. You cannot exchange those two words, because He said you will know, you will have, the Greek is gnosko. You will have an intimate relationship with me and with my word. Why? Because He and His word are the same. Mm-hmm. Now, John started this. Let's just look over here at the very beginning, when the way he began to write this. Well, come on, pages. 4, 3, 2, 1. In the beginning was the Word. Isn't that good? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And you just continue to read and look at the 14th verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. So we could call John a word man, right? And back when Kelly was little, she'll attest to this, that they called us word birds. Amen. Well, you know, they used to call us tapeworms. Well, we were now tape. We were on tapes. So anyway, we originally learned this from reel-to-reel tape and then cassette tapes. And they took a giant step backwards and went to CDs. Because, man, you can stop that tape, run it back, stop it, right? You just monkey with it all you wanted to, and now...
I have to admit, I don't miss trying to take a pencil and fix my tape.
I do.
You do?
I got good at that. Anyway, so now you shall know the truth. I want to tell you a story. Back in the day, a number of years ago, there's a little motorcycle shop over in Mansfield, and it was just a nice ride, you know. And so one afternoon, I got on my bike and I rode over there, and walked in the door. And they're not a specialty shop; they had all kinds of things. What kind of bike you rode? They had something to work with. And I walked in the door, and a very good friend of mine, Jimmy Hester, was sitting there at the counter on the phone. And I walked in there, and he thinks, and he had a big smile on his face. And he's laughing, and he hung that up. Well, he said, I've got a good report. He said, my doctor said I have the heart of a 16-year-old boy. I said, that's great, Jimmy. No, he said, you don't know. He said, I have a story to tell you. He said, my grandfather died with a bad heart. My father died with a bad heart. He said, I went to your mother's prayer group. Now, my mother's prayer group, she'd start a prayer group, and it'd get so big you couldn't get to my dad's house on Monday night. She'd close it down and wait for about a year and turn that one over to somebody and start a church, wait about a year and do it all over again. And she kept doing that.
There was a whole lot going on. I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I don't even know if I've ever told you this. I'd sit on the stairs, and I could tip my head down where I thought they wouldn't see me and watch what was going on. It was not silent, quiet prayer.
No.
They were casting out devils, coughing up demons.
Man.
I mean, it was wild
yes,
down there.
I was
real young. You know, I was like 5 years old when she cast alcohol, tobacco, and cigarettes out of me. Cough it out, honey. Cough it out. But that's what was going on down there.
Yeah.
I loved
what?
It.
Man, I walked up there one night up my dad's front porch there, and I knew the prayer group was going on. And I found out later there was two Baptist preachers, and they walked out, and they walked right by me. One of them said, have you ever heard anything like that before? He said, no, but I'll tell you one thing. This is the first time in my life I ever felt sorry for the devil. He said, that woman beat him up, didn't she?
That makes what you're about to say about Jimmy Hester make a lot of sense.
So someone took him over there to be prayed for over his heart. And he said, Kenneth, they took me in there. And I right there in front of her, and say, in fact, she had me sit down in a chair, and I was facing her, and she said, tell me about this. He said, well, my grandfather died with a bad heart, my dad died with a bad heart, and I have a bad heart now. She said, tell me the truth about this. He said, well, My grandfather died of a bad heart. My grandfather died of a bad heart. And I got a bad heart now. She said, tell me the truth about this. He said, well, lady, I told you. He went through it all again. And he said, Kenneth, she boxed my ears. He said she slapped her hands over my ears. And she said, Isaiah 53 is the truth about this, and slapped me. And he said, it got my attention.
Wow.
And he said, okay. Well, he said, I pastor a church there in Arlington, Texas. And he said, that turned me around. He said, I am totally convinced she saw death on me. Now, that happened there more than once. She saw death on me, and he said, when she boxed my ears, he said, my ears actually rang. Said, she popped me over the ears and shouted in my face and got my attention, and I just got my physical, and he said, I have the heart of a 16-year-old boy. Glory to God. And when he did go, he went in his mid-80s instead of being 56 or 57 years old. Jerry Savelle and I were there at his home going.
Wow.
Glory to God. Isn't that a good story?
Yes.
And he's a mighty man of God. And one of my very, very good friends in the flying days. In fact, I worked with him for a while in the airplane business. His name is Tommy Baker. And I came home off road when they called Tommy Baker. So I called him. And they said, oh, no, Mr. Copeland, Mr. Baker passed away a few days ago. Oh, I missed him. Well, R.W. Shambach came to town, and he was in Arlington. And he was on the church property, that big tent. Glory to God. We came back off the road, and I found that out. And I said, Gloria, let's go hear Shamboozle. She said, okay. Oh, we were there. He called himself that, you know. He talk about a preacher. Jimmy Hester sent word for me to come up there on the platform, and they sent somebody down. I said, come on, Gloria. She said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to sit here with Ms. Shambach, and you'd be going up there. So I sat down there. Jimmy said, Kenneth, you know a man by the name of Tommy Baker? I said, of course. He said, I think you need to know something. He said, he came to see me. And he said, I don't know how he got my name, but he came to see me. And he said, I tried to get a hold of Kenneth, but he's out of town. He said, I just wanted you to know he came to my office. And he said, we prayed together, and he was gloriously saved. Glory to God. That's that man that would have been dead before that. That's the point I wanted to make. If he hadn't done, and if my mother hadn't done, and him know the truth about this.
You know, we just read about him being trustworthy. He followed the Father who was trustworthy. But when you said that, he always has his ear towards us, like what you needed. You in your heart may not have even asked him to soothe that place that you didn't get back to him in time. But the Lord was there for him as well as you.
And, oh, that's right.
And when we... What Jimmy Hester said was really important, I think, to touch on is that he said, she got my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And these mm-hmm. things that we're talking about this week about the truth, that's the problem. We hear the truth, we hear it on, and sometimes we hear it so much, it doesn't, the Lord in it doesn't have our attention. Hey, I'm sending you that word. You're going to need that word. I'm sending you that word to heal that question you asked me last week. If we have ears to hear, we can do these things. If we let him have our attention and give him our ear, or as the word says, consider Jesus. It says, keep your mind or eyes on the realities of heaven. That's giving that truth the place in our life to say, I'm going to hear it. And I'm going to hear it. When the preacher's preaching, I'm going to hear that truth. I'm not just going to let it pass through my head.
Well, and you hear people say, well, now this is my truth. And when you hear somebody say that, you just brace yourself because it's going to be plumb off the wall in most cases. Now
that's good.
Let's go back in here and read this again.
Okay.
I do nothing of myself. Now, that is a key phrase. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him. As he spoke these words, many believed on him, and he said to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know, you shall be intimately acquainted with the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you made me free? Jesus answered them, verily, now you got two verily, verilys, you better listen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, there it is again, make you free, you shall be free indeed. But I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Oh, that's huge. My word has no place in you.
Wow.
Kelly, I early one morning, oh, it was before daylight, and I was so, I got up, and I was headed out on the porch to pray for my partners and so forth, early. And I walked out of I walked out of the bedroom into my bathroom and started in there to make a cup of tea early. And I heard it down in here. My word has no place in you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it's like
that hurts.
It's like I got gut punched.
Yeah.
And it hit me so hard, and hurt me so. I just went on back in there and went back to bed. And I began to search and seek what the Lord was, what do you mean? It has no place in you, in me. And he didn't say anything. So I began to research and repent and go back to these scriptures and read them again and again and again. And I had done what I had, well, it was a major problem with me. I get so busy preaching that I was not spending any quality time in the Word for myself. And I had to just back off and take my correction and abort the takeoff and go back to the barn and then wait and just seek Him and repent mm-hmm. and repent and solve that because I was corrected. Well, it's better to be corrected than to crash and burn. I mean, that had to occur. But it's just those moments that in His preciousness and His goodness, He got my attention. I mean, it is about 4:30 in the morning. And He absolutely got my attention. It put me back in the bed. And I laid back down in there and began to pray in tongues and repent and got up later that day and straightened some things out between the two of us. And I let things slip is what had happened. Now,
and Dad, when you took that and you didn't just, sometimes I think the Lord's telling us something when we're like, I rebuke you, devil. You know, we are not, it's easy not to hear, to take, to receive the truth. But when we do, He set you free. I can look back, especially in the last 10 years of my life, when He said something like that to me, like He said to me, "You disdain worship." I'm like, not me. But those are the moments of freedom. We have to realize He said He would set us free. That's what that was. He set you free of something that was becoming a chain, becoming a hole, becoming a draining weakness out of you, might not even have connected something that might happen in your body or in your mind or in your circumstances. And you might not have ever connected that to that except for God.
Yeah.
And the Word says, Paul told the Athenians that he's not a disinterested bystander. So we should expect those intimate places where He's getting rid of the stuff that's
right.
hurting us. He set you free. I just had to point that out because you know the truth. You knew the truth. You accepted it. You responded to His words. You got quiet with Him, and He set you free.
It, my spiritual father, Oral Roberts, would say it like this. He said, you have to stay in the Word. And he said, there are things that when problems come, when your finances get bottled up, or you have something that you just don't know what to do, he said, people that do not live and walk by faith, they'll never get the answer to that. Because the answer is in the wisdom of God most of the time. But he said, you have to stay in this book, and you have to stay on those scriptures that cover that situation, and you have to stay there and stay there till you know it.
Okay.
And until you know that 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 the devil can't stop you in this.
That's right.
And once you come to that place of knowing, well, see, that's what Jesus was saying. Continue in my word and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. When God appeared to Abram, He said, I have made you the father of many nations. That authority of this is Him.
Yeah.
When you understand and you know that 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 you understand, you comprehend, and you know, and you know that every word in this book is blood-backed and blood-bought. These are blood covenants. It's not the old English translators were trying to tell us something, but it got lost in the that this is the will and testament of God. And we're heirs.
Mm-hmm.
But it just becomes an Old Testament, New Testament. Nobody takes time enough to go to that. But when you check it out and see what it actually is, and what in those two places what testament actually was, and translated, they're covenants.
I have a thought. You know, I've had times when I had a legal document to read, and I'm like, I don't understand what this means. I need to do, and but it's as the one who. Is you've called Him the testator of the testament, who died and rose again to see this come to pass. I can ask Him, read this to me. I can ask Him, what is this saying to me? And it's amazing. I've started really reading the Word with the understanding that He's there with me in His presence. And it just opens the Word. It seems so much more personal to me. What that word means to me. I've had Him even read words in a way to me that gave it a different meaning than I personally would have put on the meaning, like, how can I know these hidden faults from Psalm 19:12? He read that to me one day, and I'd never experienced that. Aw.
No.
Aw.
Well, doesn't it say He's our advocate?
Yes.
That's attorney.
Yes.
He'll read the will for you.
He will. He'll read your mail and the will.
Amen. We'll be back in just a moment. Praise God.
I wonder what Jesus' birth was really like. Why did God choose Mary and Joseph to be His parents? Were they really poor? like I was always taught?
Dive deep into the account of the Nativity with Rick Renner's book, Christmas, The Rest of the Story, and find out there is more to Jesus' birth than you ever knew. Using his knowledge of the Greek language, along with historical and archaeological records, Rick Renner will take you on an exciting journey through the Christmas scriptures. Find out details like who the Magi really were and why the angels were so astonished at the Word made flesh. This beautifully illustrated and well-researched book will bring the Christmas story to life for you and your family. The discussion questions at the end of each chapter will help your family create a Christmas tradition of learning together. Ultimately, Christmas, The Rest of the Story will point you to the purpose of the Nativity, the death and resurrection of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This Christmas season, let the story of Jesus' birth open your eyes to God's amazing plan. Order Rick Renner's new book, Christmas, The Rest of the Story, for £30 on our website, kcm.org.uk/TV special, or call 01225-787-310. This offer is good for 30 days. Outside the UK, call for postage. Contact your regional office today.
Welcome to KCM.org, your study center for victory. Click Start Here to unlock answers on where to begin your faith journey. You'll find links to our most popular content and an overview of what KCM.org can do for you. Start there and don't stop exploring. Find a Bible-believing church home with the Find a Church feature. At KCM.org, we want to answer your questions, encourage you daily, and help lead you on the path to victory in your family, finances, emotional, and physical health. With things to watch, read, pray, and speak, KCM.org meets you where you are.
In 2023, join Kenneth Copeland at these free KCM events to build your faith and live in victory. March 23 through 25, come to the Sacramento Victory Campaign in North Highlands, California. April 13 through 15, join us at the Branson Victory Campaign in Branson, Missouri. June 22 through 24, make plans to be at the Chattanooga Victory Campaign in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Go to kcm.org/events for more information.
We're talking about going into 2023 with boldly knowing the truth. And His name is Jesus. And we're going to go through this year, praise God, in victory in every area of our lives. Praise God. Well, it's good, isn't it? We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember this. God loves you. And we love you. And Jesus is Lord. Yes, He is. Hallelujah.
Go to kcm.org.uk to get your free New Year's gift, the 2023 KCM calendar, while supplies last.